Please, for our second reading to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see thee and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee shall be swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, The place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and removing to and fro? Who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I'm not going to put it to a vote, but I'd really like to get a vote on how many of you just want to stop here and spend the rest of the afternoon in this passage. What a wonderful chapter we have before us here. Now notice, first of all, in the understanding of this chapter, that it is the opening chapter to section 2 in the last section of the book of Isaiah. Remember, 40 through 66 is divided up into three sections. And those sections are divided up, remember verse 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. That brings to a close section number 1. Now we're beginning section number 2. In section number 1, what we heard was Cyrus is coming. And when Cyrus comes, he's going to fulfill all my will. That's why you must look to me. Because the idols of the nations, they can't do that, the Lord says. They can't do that. All of their machinations, all of their predictions, all of their prognostications will come to nothing. But me, I'm talking about Babylon before Babylon's a world power. And I'm talking about Babylon's destruction and your deliverance from captivity by a king whom I've called by name that has not yet been born. This is who I am, says the Lord. Now that's chapters 40 through 48. That's the book of comfort, opening section number 1. Now the book of comfort, opening section number 2. Very interesting, because the prophet now is going to look far beyond Cyrus. He's going to look to the days of Jesus Christ. This is a gospel passage. It is full of doctrine, of prediction, placed in prophetic terms that the people of God of their day would understand about the days of Messiah. All we need to do is put ourselves in that mindset and we will receive those same comforts, except we will receive them as those upon whom these things have come, rather than looking for them to come in the future. They are already here and yet not yet come to their fullness. That's what we're talking about in Isaiah chapter 49. So in the first section, there are a couple of things that we have to clear up understanding-wise before we go ahead. So the first section, we hear that the servant in this passage is Israel. Okay. However, in the second section of this chapter, we're going to see that the servant is distanced from Israel. Okay? So, those rabbis, and remember, what's the job of the rabbis? To confuse everybody about Christ and say he hasn't come yet. That's their job. And so they look at the 40s of Isaiah and they say, the servant that is described there is the nation Israel itself. Okay? And there is a sense in which that's true. Sometimes there is that particular locution in the passage. But whenever we see that, we will also see that separation of the servant from the nation. So sometimes when the Lord speaks about the servant being the nation of Israel, that is what we would call the whole put for the part. Right? The head of the nation of Israel, that is the true Israel, he is being described as the entirety of his body instead of just the head himself. Okay, so remember that as we move through the passage then, because there are some things said about the servant that cannot apply to the nation because the nation has been distanced in the passage from the servant. Let me show you that, okay? First of all, it says, Israel, my servant, and that's in verse 3. But then notice in verse 6, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. You see, here now there's a separation between the nation and the servant. Now that's important. Okay, so in the first four verses then, there is, as it were, a conversation going on between the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. It's a prophetic kind of behind-the-scenes look, right? This is behind-the-scenes stuff. This is where the veil is pulled back, and it is for our benefit. Obviously, the persons of the Trinity, they have omniscience. They share in that divinity. There is no consternation between them. This is for our benefit, so we might understand better what's going on here. And so notice what the Lord Jesus says to the Father here. He says, the Lord has called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. He's made me like a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. He's like that son that's getting ready to be shot out. He's still in the quiver. We haven't come to the days of Messiah yet, but he's getting ready to be shot out like an arrow, right? Like those arrows of youth. And he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, notice this, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. What is Messiah saying to his Father here? Let's take a look at Israel for a minute. Do they look like a people that's redeemed? Do they look like a people that's godly? Do they look like a people that have received my labor? I've labored in vain. This is a nation of evildoers. Now notice the Father's response. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Even if Jacob isn't gathered, I'm still glorious. Well, only Christ could say that. But now notice the next verse. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the end of the earth. Do you hear that? You hear that promise? What is the promise that the Father has made to the Son? It's a light thing, Son, for you to be the salvation of the preserved in Israel. Notice he doesn't say the entirety of Israel. The preserved in Israel. I'm also going to make you a light to the Gentiles and you'll be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Everywhere, not just in Israel. The work of Messiah is a worldwide work. And why would we think less, seeing that the great seed of Abraham would what? Inherit all the world. Right? That he would be the heir of the world itself. So then, in verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth. Did you hear that? The nation. Even in this day, Israel is abhorring her Messiah that has not yet come. The prophets speak. Remember what Peter tells us, and we'll look at this a little bit. In a little bit, they speak by the Spirit of Christ. To despise the Word of God is to despise Jesus Christ, even in the Old Testament as well as the New. Kings shall worship. Princes shall see and arise. It's the other way around. Kings shall see and arise. Princes shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. That is, the Lord has chosen his Messiah, and because he has chosen his Messiah, although the nation abhors him, kings shall come. Kings shall worship the Lord. Now notice, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. You remember that Peter brings this home to the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of the New Testament. Peter is telling us that Isaiah 49 is the gospel day prophesied. And then what does he say? I will give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, the places where there is nothing going on redemptively at this time. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. And so down through verse 12, we see that they will come. They will come from afar, and they will join themselves to Messiah. All right, so what would be the natural question to ask? What about Israel? What about Israel? Are they completely cast off? Isn't that the question that Paul answers in Romans 9, 10, and 11? What about Israel? Are they completely cast off? It says here that the Lord is going to turn His Messiah to the nations, and kings shall come and flow into that worshiping assembly. What about Israel then? Did you forget us, Lord? Did you forget us? Listen to what it says in verse 13. Verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Can I say it this way? That they shall make haste also. They will come with the Gentiles. And thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. This is exactly the same answer that the Apostle Paul gives us in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. All Israel shall be saved. All right, so then in verses 18 through the end of the chapter, the Lord turns his focus back to the Gentiles. Lift up thine eyes round about, all these gather themselves together, come unto thee. All these nations, kings, their peoples, gather themselves and come unto thee, unto Zion, that is. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. That's a large word. That's a large message in the days of Isaiah's prophecy. What is the affection, say it that way, of Israel toward the Gentiles in that day, in the day of Isaiah's writing it? There's great animus there. But what does he say? You're going to take them like a bride puts on ornaments. You're going to take those Gentiles to you. You're going to love them. You're going to make them part of yourselves. This is the work of Messiah for the whole earth. In Isaiah 49. Now watch. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. The Lord says, I'm going to bring so many people that the days, that the land that you have now that you think is small, it's going to be even smaller to you. I'm going to bring so many people into Zion that it's going to be, you're not going to be able to do social distancing. You're going to be right next to one another. It's going to be a crowded place. I'm going to bring so many people there. Now watch this. Verse 20. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give me place. Give place to me that I may dwell. After thou hast lost the other. There will be a number of apostates in Israel, and they shall go. They shall leave. They will not believe in Messiah. They will not embrace Jesus Christ as their Lord. But the Lord says, for everyone that goes, I'll bring you many more of the Gentiles. And they will say unto you, we need more room. We need more space. We need more place to live. The place is too narrow for us. Like Caleb's daughter, right? All right, so then in verse 21, Then you're going to say in your heart, who hath begotten these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who brought up these? Behold, I was left alone, and these, where had they been? Where'd all these children come from? Where did they come from? I thought I'd lost all of mine. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. The gospel age is a day of expansion. It is a day of growth and beauty. It is a day of population. It is a day of success. And notice how far it goes. Verse 23. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and queens thy nursing mothers. And they shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. And so we have this wonderful statement of the gospel age, when kings and queens shall care for the church. They shall make her way prosperous in the world rather than standing against her. Notice the turnaround. Notice the turnaround of that day. What was going on with the kings of the nations in that day? With one notable exception, with regard to Cyrus, with that one notable exception, what about the rest of the kings of the world toward the church? Well, they were captors. They were persecutors. They were destroyers. Now they're going to be caregivers, the Lord says. They're going to be thy nursing fathers and mothers. What a turnaround that will be. All right, so then verses 24 through the end, we're going to talk about the captives being delivered. The mighty, that is the mighty oppressor, they shall be taken away. I will contend with him that contended with thee, and I will save thy children. And then the destruction of all of the enemies of God, which is part of Christ's redemption, is portrayed there in verse 26. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. They shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. That's a chapter, as we say in pastor circles, that'll preach. All right, well, let's stand then and continue.